Hello, everyone. You're listening to America Meditating Radio. We collect wisdom, inspire each other, and empower hearts on demand 24/7. I'm Sister Jenna, host of the syndicated America Meditating Radio. Join us as we talk one-on-one with leading experts who answer life's most compelling questions, because in a world of uncertainty, we need answers right here, right now. America Meditating Radio, a show for everyone to learn more about this amazing thing called life. Welcome, everyone. This is America Meditating Radio. That was Fool Like You by Ann Purcell, who will be our next guest on the air, and can't wait to talk with Ann. Today we are looking at life from the perspective of why is it that we must not allow our thoughts to make us think it's not valuable. There have been a lot of suicides this week, unfortunately. Kate Spade, and we've just lost the amazing, I was so amazed. I was absolutely amazed when I heard the news today, and it just, I don't know, it just took me to a point like, what was it that he was going through? And you know who I'm talking about, Anthony Bourdain. It's that we've lost two great, great voices, storytellers, individuals who have shaped America and who America has shaped as well, by suicide. And I know that there's something going on emotionally, spiritually, mentally, but I just wish we had the openness and the trust that we could talk more about how we're feeling. And that's what I hope the show does for all of us, is that we have a venue, a platform that gives us the permission to say, I'm not feeling so great. Is anyone there? Can anyone help? So I send them this moment of silence to Kate Spade, and to Anthony Bourdain. We hold a moment of silence for you, wishing your soul light and love and peace. Let's take a moment of silence. Om Shanti. The time that we choose to be aware doesn't necessarily require me to just sit and meditate. But even while I walk and move around, I can be in a meditative awareness, which is awareness of the soul, the original, eternal, imperishable being of light. For a little while, I'd like to invite you to be present, to be here, and to be now. Allow your mind to settle in the moment, to relax. This meditation is about awareness. It's about becoming aware of your original and eternal self. It's about connecting to your truth. Let go of your name. And observe yourself feeling nameless. Let go of your gender to discontinue thinking you're a man or a woman. Let it go and observe how you would feel walking around without a gender. Let go of the role that you play and let go of the titles that you own. Observe how you're feeling as you are gradually letting go. Let go of your religion and put it aside just for now. And let go of your nationality and even the language that you're accustomed to. Imagine you have no name, gender, role, title, religion, nationality, or even a language. Ask yourself, how do you feel at this moment? And in this feeling, who would think of you and who would you think of? The Supreme Soul would think of you, and you, the liberated soul, would think of the Supreme. In this state of absolute freedom, am truly who I am. A free, peaceful, pure, immortal, and eternal soul. Allow yourself to just be absorbed in this awareness. Welcome back, everyone. We just held a moment of silence for those who have taken their lives by suicide. Anthony Bourdain and Kate Spade, we lost recently, and we just wanted to send their souls off with love and peace and power. And if anyone's going through anything, please talk about it. Don't hold it in. You're not alone. It's that held up, pent up energy that just doesn't know where to go, and it just gets trapped in a thought. It gets trapped in a thought, and it becomes so hard to break loose. But now we're going to turn to a journey, you know, the continued journey of enlightenment. And today it's my honor to welcome Anne Purcell back on the air. Anne is an award-winning author of The Transcendental Meditation Technique and The Journey of Enlightenment, Growing in Love, Creativity, Health, and Happiness. Her second book, Tend the Flower of Heaven, is a collection of 130 poems. She has also recorded 7 CDs, and her most recent is Songs to the Full Moon. We heard that at the beginning of the show. She has written for the Huffington Post and has been a teacher of TM since 1973. She's taught advanced programs all around the world, and she's involved in establishing a women's wing of the TM organization in Kenya and Rwanda. Today we welcome back our lovely sister, Anne Purcell. Welcome to the air, Anne.
Thank you, Sister Jenna. Thank you for having me.
I appreciated you holding that moment of silence for our friends that have just passed, and
yes,
what a time.
Yes. I know.
It's so, you know, it's weird. I was feeling like, was Kate calling Anthony? You know, sometimes you get these thoughts like, give me some company. And it's that there's so much going on emotionally, mystically, that we are looking for answers. And you've been doing transcendental meditation since 1973. Please tell our listeners, here we are many decades later. Tell us how you living an introspective life has changed you, or is changing you and making you a better person.
Yes, we're always growing, always evolving. I feel like since I learned transcendental meditation, it was like going from maybe a slow car to a fast jet plane of evolution. And I think transcendental meditation is a very simple, very natural, effortless technique, but which allows one to experience one's most inner nature, to feel the pure silence, to feel the pure calm. And I think the first benefits I noticed from learning TM was I had more energy, I had more clear thinking. And the second benefit I started noticing was all of a sudden I felt I started writing poetry and just writing more and more, and just there was this whole creative outlet that started to happen. And because the field of silence is the source of all creativity. But after so many years, one thing is that it's so natural that it's not like a dramatic change every day, but when one looks over the years, one does notice some very strong changes, profound changes. I would say more calm in activity without the news of the world and the day-to-day ups and downs overshadowing that calm. I would say more of a natural state of happiness, meaning that just the little things in life are extremely joyful. Like there's less need to do this and do this and to do that to find happiness. It's more of a state of being that's just there all the time. I actually went to the beach this morning. I live right near the ocean. I went across the street to the beach, and it was just like, it just felt like so thrilling just to be at the beach and watch the waves and to see the sunrise. And I just feel it wasn't the outer state that was so thrilling. It was the outer state that was meeting with that inner state of joy and happiness. And it was like it just created this upsurge of joy. And that's happening more and more irrespective of what's going on the outside.
That's beautiful. And I think that's why we need to give some clarity as to more of the benefits of meditation, because I think it really helps us to evolve into better people. I want to congratulate you on your new book. We just got the copy, The Journey of Enlightenment. Now, what inspired you to write the book, and what did it feel like when you got to the end of the book?
Well, the first book was The Journey of Enlightenment. This book is The Power of Transcendence, Growing in Love, Creativity, Health, and Happiness. And it's actually a collection of over 50 short blogs that I've written over since my first book. And I really love blogging because just in around 600 words, I love just being able to capture one simple thought. And just any time I had some impulse of some idea, I could just write it down very quickly. And, of course, you have to edit it and refine it. But so in the book, there's a whole range of topics. Like there's a section on love. There's a section on creativity. There's a section on enlightenment. There's a section on spiritual reflections, like listen to your inner voice, or silence, bliss and silence, self-empowerment, heaven, now or later. So there's many different topics that cover a whole range of topics. And it was just really just an impulse would come, a simple seed thought would come, and I would just write it down. And that resulted in over 50 blogs that are on Huffington Post and my website. But my publisher thought it was his idea to put all the blogs into a book, so you have them right in one place and have to look all through the internet to find them. And the feeling of writing it when it comes, it's thrilling. And the strange feeling is like, oh, did I write this? I actually write all this?
I get that feeling. And what did it feel like when you got to the end, when you read that last poem?
That last poem, or in this book, it just felt I felt very satisfied. It was really a sense of accomplishment. And I really don't think of myself as a writer. But it just keeps coming. And the process is so effortless. And for me anyways, and it just felt extremely, extremely satisfying. And I have to say, when I read back through the blogs, I feel like there's a lot of wisdom and a lot of knowledge that I draw upon from many great thinkers and leaders and spiritual leaders throughout time. So there's, I think, a lot of wisdom in the book and a lot of lessons other people can draw upon. So it feels like a gift of wisdom, not my wisdom, but wisdom of great thinkers throughout time.
Great. And we need more wisdom now, because it seems as if we watch the news, it's so much of a lower vibration, and it's now time for the higher vibrations to actually get on platforms and to speak loudly. There's a lot of conversation about the Me Too movement today. I think is a woman's role today. Secondly, where should a woman draw her power from?
Thank you for that question. I think it's a really important question. I think a woman's power is really in being authentic to herself. I think she draws her power from her fine feeling level, which is very nourishing. And I do think that is the ultimate role of a woman, is to nourish. It's just innate in her as a mother, even if someone doesn't have children. It's just the tendency of mother to nourish. And through nourishing her child, through raising a child, she raises, hopefully, if nourished well, children who can contribute to society. But just let's think for 1 minute about that feeling level. When we take in all our knowledge through our senses, through sight, hearing, touch, taste, sound, and smell, then it comes into the surface level of our mind, and that's our day-to-day to-do list and what we have to accomplish and our work, our surface level of our work. But deeper than that is our intellect, which discriminates the thoughts that come into the mind, which ones I want to act upon, which are good thoughts, which are not good thoughts. And then there's a deeper, more finer level, and that is our feeling level. And that level, then even deeper than that, is the field of pure silence, pure being. And the feeling level is closest to the field of pure being. And I'm sure everyone's had the experience, oh, if I'd just gone by my feeling level, because something didn't turn out right, because they didn't go by their feeling level. And so when we what keeps one from being in touch with one's feeling level is stress. If we're really stressed and anxious, we're just caught up in that anxiety and we don't hear that quiet inner voice. And also, if a lot of people dull that feeling level through substance abuse, through alcohol, drugs, even through activity, just doing things and doing things and doing things, we lose contact with those very fine feeling levels. And so when we meditate and transcend and experience that deep silence, the whole body receives a very deep state of rest, which allows stress to be released, which allows us then to connect back to our authentic self, to hear those fine, fine feelings. And that way we'll be able to guide our own life in a more, you could say, right way, in a more uplifting way, in a more gracious way, and also to our environment. If I could just read a quote quickly from Oprah Winfrey. This is a blog I wrote called Listen to Your Inner Voice. And Oprah Winfrey said, "Learning to trust your instincts, using your intuitive sense of what's best for you, is paramount for any lasting success. I trusted the still, small voice of intuition my entire life. And the only time I've made mistakes is when I didn't listen." So I think that's where the woman gets her power, power to be her, to not only hear those feelings, but to have the strength to go by those feelings and to act upon those feelings. And those feelings will guide life, our own life, in a uplifting evolutionary direction, and will help to guide the environment in that way as well. And I really think that is the strength, women. That is where women can find their power.
I'll agree with you on that. I was at the press conference for the Watching Oprah exhibit at the National Museum of African American History in Washington, D.C., and I have to tell you that it's so important for everyone, man, woman, black, white, straight, gay, rich, poor, to begin to draw power from that inner place, but also from the goodness of people who have done it, and we can see the proof. We have rare examples of people who are living a life of truth that have a platform like what Oprah Winfrey does, and to be able to speak truth, the power with such a platform. And we need more of that, because a lot of young millennials are beginning to think that you can create a platform and create a shambles of it, unfortunately. And so I think that individuals who can draw from their instinctual levels of truth and goodness will definitely prevail. Now, one of the things I love about TM is that there's a lot of research about the benefits of TM. And I love that. I love that the practices brought science and spirituality as one, and they've complemented each other. And it has been doing a lot of work in schools and prisons with women empowerment in the workplace, and it continues to do a lot of good. To what extent would you say that transcendental meditation, would you call it a cure or the cure? And I ask that very carefully, because some of us can sometimes be so stuck on our practice, and yet we forget that there are other practices out there that might work for you, but for, you know, an individual, it speaks to me now. And for you, it's been quite a number of years. It's been
45 years, yes.
There you go. And you have not moved off of that radar. So tell us, what is it about TM that you love so much?
Oh, I love this question. I think it's the experience, absolutely the experience, because when one transcends, we have to ask, what is the transcendent? It's a field of pure silence. It's a field of pure peace. It's a field of unboundedness, infinity. It's like our individual awareness, all those, what you said, man, woman, gender, all those individual qualities just settle down into this pure, absolutely pure state, which is beyond any individual reality, the purest level of consciousness, which is a state of pure joy. All the great spiritual leaders said, talked of samadhi or ananda, that the bliss is within, or the kingdom of heaven is within. And so it's experiencing that level of joy inside. In the beginning, I could just say, when I first learned, it was a very pleasant state to experience. But in time, that pleasantness has grown to be, I'll say the word bliss, but bliss is really a bit much for some people to hear. But I don't know what other word to describe it, because it really is a state of completeness, a state of fulfillment. And the joy of it is it grows more and more as the stress grows, and as the stress goes, you're able to stay settled in that silent state more. Just very naturally, there's no effort to stay there. There's no effort to try to reach it. It just happens naturally, because the mind will automatically go to that which is enjoyable. A honeybee will just go from flower to flower to flower until he finds one with nectar, and then the bee will automatically stay there. And then one brings that joy more and more into activity. It's like tapping into a well or having a connection to the well, and the water just flows out more and more through all the senses. So then activity itself becomes more enjoyable as well. Not only more enjoyable, but there's greater focus, greater clarity, more creativity. And this, as you said, has all been documented by scientific research. Students are able to focus more in school. Even prisoners, they feel more freedom even behind bars, because they're less bound by their own stress. And women gain more strength. We just had a conference in New York City with Stella McCartney for a woman who had been abused, and they said they gained the strength to become strong individuals and stand up to the situation they were in and get out of the situation. And then after they'd gotten out of the situation, they had the inner strength and fortitude to take new steps in their life. And all action is based on thought, and thought is based on a being, silent. So if we're connected to the source, then that's the foundation for our life. But I do want to say, TM provides that foundation, but you have a whole tree of life, and there's some techniques for this part of the tree and some techniques for this part of the tree. There's techniques for education, for learning. So we want to use all aspects of the tree, but we want to water the root to enjoy the fruit.
Mm-hmm.
As well, yes.
Right. I get that. And I think that we're at such a level of the external that we're not really aware, because the external is giving the soul a temporary relief, but not
exactly.
A long-term relief. And so when we find that the temporary relief isn't enough, we go back to the same cyclical process, which is an external immediate cure, not an internal long-term more cure. And I get that completely. The state of the world is in an uprising, and it feels like it's going down if you keep listening to the news and hearing about the rollback of laws. How can we bring meditation in policies? How can we bring the whole aspect of at least meditating before we designate these laws and put these laws into power? Any thoughts?
Yes, I would just simply say prevention is better than cure. And the one thing really good about TM is the scientific research. And I think little by little it is coming into policy. In England, for example, the government is supporting, even paying for students to learn TM, and that's based on the research showing that it improves grades and improves focus and improves creativity. In healthcare, I think it can really be beneficial, because 70-80% of disease is stress-related, and TM has been extremely effective. The research has shown in reducing stress, and so that can be a policy through the insurance companies, through doctors, which many doctors do, are support TM now based on the scientific research and based on the results. Its results are very important. So I think because of the research, it is more and more governments are looking into it and adopting it. We're a little slow in the U.S., but little by little, there's some congressmen who are now meditating, and one who spoke at our university, our commencement, or at Maharishi University. He was the commencement speaker. I think his name is Tim Ryan. And so more and more, there's a, more awareness growing. And even though there's all these bad things happening in the world, that's what we hear in the news, but we don't hear all the good things that are happening. And there are many good things that are happening as well. We would need a whole show to talk about the good things as well.
That is true. We should have a good news show. That definitely should cover the airways one day.
That answer your question? Is that what you were driving for?
It did. It did.
Okay,
it
good.
Did. I know that you're establishing a women's wing of TM
yes.
in Kenya and Rwanda. Could you tell us a little bit more about how that's coming along and in what way we can participate, and maybe a little bit more about what its primary focus will be on?
Yes, it's. I'm personally involved in Kenya and Rwanda, but we're establishing this woman wing all around the world. Just about 8 years ago, we decided to start a woman's wing to outreach different women's groups. And the purpose is really the same as the overall purpose of the TM organization, is to bring TM into healthcare, into education, into rehabilitation, but with a focus on women's groups. Actually, in Uganda, we have a girls' school already that the government is supporting a little bit, and of just girls, and they're really thriving, these girls, and they getting better grades in school, and they're starting to win awards. And we also have a girls' school, and a Buddhist girls' school in Thailand with over 400 girls who have learned TM. The head of the school is a Buddhist nun, and she teaches Buddhism to the girls. They all these are girls who are off the street. They're not like from private schools or anything. And the whole school is funded by donations. And she teaches them their Buddhist traditions, but she felt the TM technique was more effortless and provided more results. And so all the girls practice transcendental meditation. And in Kenya and Rwanda, we just taught 60 women in a village in western Rwanda, and now all the husbands want to learn. We're trying to get a TM teacher to go there to teach the men now, but the husbands have seen the results of these women meditating. Very simple women from villages, but they've all noticed that they have less headaches, less stress, they have more energy, and their home life is more happy. And the same in Kenya. We've taught 600 people in a village, and twice a week the women in the village get together for group meditation. And they've also noticed many health benefits. And one of the women really wanted to feed her village better food, and she went away for a two-week program to learn organic gardening, and now she's growing organic vegetables in her village, which is a sign of more creativity and being more industrious as well. So it's very practical. TM is also for activity to improve one's life. It's not just to sit in quiet peace, but it's to bring that peace and happiness and joy and creativity into one's activity for more success and more fulfillment in life.
Beautiful, beautiful. So are you going to be on a tour regarding your new book? And
well,
if so, where?
Well, I was in New York and spoke in two places there, and now I'm in Florida speaking in two places. I may be coming to Washington, D.C. in September, and I'm scheduled to speak in Philadelphia also in September. So I will be, it's not going to be one tour just like for 2 months, but just here and there when I'm in the area, I will be speaking.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Anne. And could you leave us with a website that our listeners can find out more about the book?
Yes, thank you. It's enlightenmentforeveryone.com. Enlightenmentforeveryone.com.
Well, look, Anne, thank you for your work, and continue to have inspire people to be more transcendent and keep growing and to keep being creative and happy. We wish you continued success and all the best with what's going on in Kenya and Rwanda.
Thank you, Sister Jen, and I really hope I can meet you sometime.
Same here, too. I'm sure it'll happen. Many blessings.
All right.
Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. So get a copy of Anne Purcell's new book, and I'm sure that you'll be able to find that there is a lot of good, inspiring thoughts in there. The Journey of Enlightenment, find a way to get your thoughts and your ideas at a much higher level, go to enlightenmentforeveryone.com. I'm going to definitely leave you with this thought. You know, no one can take away your happiness unless you give them permission. And we really are here to love each other the same. So let's get some love in the air. I'm going to end with my wonderful sister, Ricky Baez-Beckwith. Here is Holy, Holy by the Agape Choir and Ricky Beckwith. Take care.